I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every now and then I like to check in and see what Pardeep Kalika is up to, because it's always amazing the answers that I find. We've been keeping close touch with him for several years now. He is, many of you know, the oldest son of Satwant Singh Kalika, who was killed on August 5th, 2012, by a white supremacist at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin. Since then, Pardeep has worked tirelessly to lessen violence and create understanding. He and his brother put together this on the one-year anniversary of the massacre at the temple. That's incredibly moving. It's the most moving ceremony that I've ever been to, and I'm not young. It was just extraordinary. He's the founder of Serve to Unite, which brings together young people from different religious and cultural backgrounds. He's a former Milwaukee police officer, former teacher. He's still a teacher. Recently has been engaging in dialogue with Milwaukee residents in a campaign to stop shooting. He's also working on the 34th annual Serve to Unite, third annual Serve to Unite 6K run and walk, and the Civil Rights Baseball exhibit, which is going to be at the Arts at Large studio in July. And he's also hosting a delegation of Iraqi leadership in August to do conflict resolution. Also joining us, and we'll have to hear how these two met, is Robert. Robert is the founder of Have Goals Milwaukee. It's a campaign that uses graffiti tagging to inspire Milwaukee residents to engage in goal setting versus gun shootings. And I saw an article or read somewhere about stop shooting being the latest graffiti, and have seen these signs all over the city of Milwaukee, and it's an interesting way to draw attention to a real problem in this city. Pardeep, always a pleasure to see you, sir. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Robert, thank you very much for being with us. Yeah. So how did the two of you meet, Pardeep? You're always up to something, Pardeep.
I'm fortunate in the people I get to meet doing this line of work, and obviously we talk a lot about how community helped us heal after August 5th. About 2 months ago, we were working on a project behind the Avalon, located in Bayview. And through this project, I met a guy by the name of Ryan Lasig, an amazing artist. We just, you know, while we were doing the project with the youth at Bayview, struck up conversation and started talking, and just found out that we had a lot of the same interest. We talked a lot about, I looked down at his wrist, and he had the Have Goals bracelet. And I asked him about it, and I said, you know, do you know the guy that runs it? Kind of just, you know, I'd never met, who had run that organization. Usually people that do run these organizations, are out and, out and talking and things like that. And, I just thought that was an interesting point about Have Goals, that nobody knew who was running it. But, it drew on this universal message that people have to have goals and to strengthen community through goal setting. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't mention a lot to me. And then about 2 weeks ago, I see this sticker. And the sticker is going out on Facebook and it's getting pretty viral. And, Ryan tagged me on the post and basically said, hey, party, you got to get involved with this. Then, a minute later, I get an instant message from Robert and, saying, hey, meet me over here. I still didn't know who it was, but I was like, okay, cool. I'll meet you in 5 minutes. And, we both kind of met at this spot. And, I just popped the question to him and said, hey, man, are you the Have Goals guy? And, reluctantly, Robert was like, yeah, I am, but don't tell nobody.
So these Have Goals, and they're very artistic. You've placed them in various places all over the city where people might be waiting for a bus, where people might be waiting for a job. They're standing in line to buy something. What was the impetus behind it, Robert?
Well, it was very simple. I was really interested in street art in the first place, and I had been trying my hand at home at making some. I made a stencil based off of one of my children's faces, and we'd seen the message Have Goals from some other sources. You know, that's such a pure and simple message that those two messages literally ended up on the table next to each other, and the Have Goals sticker was kind of born out of that. So I kept it really artistically simple. It's black and white, mostly so it's cheaper to print. The face is on there because we're programmed as people to kind of lock our eyes onto a face. And then the words are pretty big, and there's very few. Have goals is a complete sentence, and you read it without even trying, and then it's inside your brain, mm-hmm. and you have to deal with it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And that idea really appealed to me because I'm a goal setter myself. You know, I drive myself forward with a series of short and long-term goals all of the time that I keep running. And you get that regular feeling of achievement, and it keeps you going. That's just mm-hmm. kind of my philosophy. So I began making these stickers by hand and just putting them up around town in the places that you mentioned, where people would be, where I see people stand. And about a year later, I saw on, I think on Flickr, someone had mentioned that they had made a social media account for this sticker. And I was not a social media account, social media person at all. Didn't use Facebook. So I went and took a look, and sure enough, a bunch of people were taking pictures of this sticker and then writing things about it. And some of the things were pretty touching and inspiring. And I decided at that point to kind of grab this, and I contacted the person and asked them if I could have the social media account. And they said, oh, sure. They were all excited, you know, that they were meeting me. And, you know, from there, we just started expanding on posting people's photography. You know, people really get into taking, like, urban exploring photography or graffiti photography, and the sticker started showing up in there. And more than that, you know, it's not really a big superficial recognition experience as much as it is about people contacting me and telling me the actual experiences they've had in their life that were affected by seeing this sticker.
Oh my goodness.
At a crucial time, huh. You know, on the way to the hospital, on mm-hmm. the way to that job interview, after that big fight with my significant other,
uh-huh.
and stopping and thinking, and then, or people who've seen it every day, you know, there's a corner where it probably gets seen 25,000 times a day, you know, and only a tiny fraction of people see street art at all. I guess it's 2%, you know, to me. And of those 2%, so few of them would actually, like, reach out and try to contact someone about it and tell them that it meant something. So that's been a big deal to me. And it hasn't happened once or twice. It happens all the time.
It does, all
and
the time. That's wonderful.
That just really keeps driving me to keep the art out there, to make different versions of it. I'm not here to make money. I don't sell products of Have Goals. I mostly just make these things and give them away. All the bracelets, we made a bunch of those last year and learned all about what it's like to make rubber bracelets and distribute them to people. Turns out it costs more than you'd think. But the Stop Shooting sticker came about probably over the last 6 months. It's really been cooking. A number of people I know have been shot, and I have a lot of younger friends, and their families have, you know, if you talk to people who live in this city, everyone knows someone who's been shot here, you know.
Yes.
It's not like when we were all kids, you know, there was a lot less of that. And I'm not some kind of anti-gun advocate or anything like that. I'm really against violence, you know. It's just the worst. I've had a bunch of it, you know, in my own experience, and I know Pardeep has as well. You know, it seems to touch almost everyone you meet. And the Stop Shooting message just struck me one night, you know, and looking at the sticker, and the sticker has sort of a convicting look on it, you know, and it really kind of makes you look in your own heart, I think. I'm kind of interpreting my own art here. But the sticker came together pretty readily. It's got the same typeface as the Have Goals sticker, and I went with the color red, you know, because shooting is generally involves blood, and it's that kind of attention-getting color. So it was a step out of the box for the design, the black and white design. I had some trepidation, actually, before I finished the art, too. You know, I've been doing Have Goals for 5 years, and I've really made a point not to really take any sort of stance on an issue, because the art isn't about that. It's about you seeing the message and what Have Goals means to you,
mm-hmm.
your goals. But Stop Shooting is pretty direct, and I paused at one point, and then I was contacted by a friend of mine whose cousin had just been shot, like, over on 45th and Capitol. And I thought, no, that means I have to keep going. And then even partway through ordering them, I had another moment of pause, and another friend was affected by a shooting. Mm. And so, you know, just got it done, and then I started looking around at who I could get this art, out to people who are effective with a message and people who are affected by this topic. And Pardeep, you came to mind, and there's a couple other artists in town who I've contacted and gotten the stickers to. And, mm-hmm. you know, this one isn't about me putting them up somewhere. And this one is about getting them into people's homes, mm-hmm. on their cars,
right,
you know,
right.
showing them it's to each other, thinking
absolutely.
About the message. Yeah, that's have goals, isn't it? You know, and that's another positive association.
Right. So what have you done with this very dramatic stop shooting
campaign?
Yeah, what are you doing? Well, I know you've been working with young people for a long, long time to stop violence.
Yeah.
But what do you do with that? How do you get that to happen?
And the weird part about it was that this one, and a lot of people sometimes say that to us as far as, like, being complacent, being, like, comfortably complacent. And this is one thing that we can't, I mean, in the city of Milwaukee, we can no longer be comfortably complacent. We're 2015 is beginning, like, as the most deadliest year in the city of Milwaukee. And I think we have about close to 70 homicides already.
Mm.
We had 111 last year altogether, and we're already up to 70. And just like Robert said, it affected us on August 5th, but in the city of Milwaukee, this affects, you know, all of us, especially, you know, those of color. You know, blacks are 20 times more likely to be the victim of gun violence, to be victims of gun violence. And if we want to take the gender approach, males are 6 times more likely. So here you have something that's affecting, you know, black males, from on the north side of I-94 and to the east of Fond du Lac Avenue. And so this spoke to me right away. And what I had in mind was, okay, I'm out in the city all the time anyways. So why don't I take this with me and start engaging people in dialogue? So, I mean, and I'm the type of person that will just roll up to you in my car and engage a young person in dialogue.
What do you say?
So, I say, hey, we're working on a campaign, stop shooting campaign. And a lot of people, you know, surprisingly, this was not a controversial political topic. You know,
no, it's not political, really.
You know, I remember, you know, early on, right after the shooting happened, there was a bunch of NRA activists or advocates and, you know, gun rights people and things like that. They would come up to you and they would show up to events where you're talking and expect you to speak about guns, right? I remember one in Oak Creek, and I had a whole bunch of NRA, you know, they had their shirts on and everything like that, and I especially made a point not to speak about guns and gun legislation to them, because I was like, well, you know what, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about what we want to talk about. I'm not going to let you sit here and intimidate, you know, anybody on this panel and discuss the way you want to discuss it. So with that said, you know, it was actually easy in the city of Milwaukee to engage people in this subject, in this topic, stop shooting. You know, I remember the one that kind of jumps out at me was I had a kid on Villard and Hopkins, and I was just talking to him, and you know, I told him about the campaign, and he was kind of joking around, and he's kind of like puts his hand to his head, sort of making a gun symbol, and he's like, so I shouldn't take a picture looking like this, you know. I kind of put the mm-hmm. fingers to his own temple, mm-hmm. like he was shooting,
mm-hmm.
and at that time I said, okay, you know, this is a learning moment. Let me talk about this a little bit more, and we talked a little bit more, and after our discussion, you know, it went from you know, an area of like conflict almost to, you know, where somebody could have shut down, to an area of, okay, I understand what you're trying to do, to an area of, okay, I got you, let me help you out. And it was a matter of literally a minute where it went from this to all of a sudden, okay, like, can I get 5? I promise I'll put them in places that people can see, right? So that's kind of what we've been doing so far. And I hope to be able to, like, take this and, you know, just spread the message out to people that we need to put it into places where people can see. When Robert was telling you about the Have Goals sticker being in places that people can see, I remember the first time I saw a Have Goals sticker.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I was getting off the freeway, and I don't know what was going on in my mind at the time, but I remember getting off the freeway on Capitol Avenue, and Capitol Drive, I'm sorry, Capitol Drive sort of goes down in that little nookie area, and there was a Have Goals sticker right to my left-hand side. And for some reason, it just, those two words spoke to me, and the little face spoke to me. And I was like, okay, you know, I got this. So it's sometimes not as complicated as, like, you know, we make it. It's just as simple as we want it, as simple as we want.
Yeah. And you've talked about this. I saw a video with you, Robert, of sort of meandering for some of your life, and that many of us find ourselves at 22 or 23, and, you know, maybe we haven't done very well at school, or we don't have any too many people saying, hey, I really like what you do here. Why don't you consider it as a career? We find ourselves, and a lot of people you work with, I'm sure, both of you have said, what the heck? I'm 22, I'm 23. What in the world am I going to do with my life? I don't have any goals. I don't have any, where am I going to work? How am I going to take care of myself, et cetera?
Yeah, and that's exactly where the message of the sticker comes from. And I think this stop shooting message really interlocks with that because, you know, getting involved in any kind of violence is really going to negatively affect your progress towards whatever it is you want. You know, and I don't think there's anyone out there, any young person who doesn't actually want to get somewhere and have their own place to live and have their own vehicle and have their own everything. I think that's just programmed into us as people. So it just, again, this seemed like a kind of a natural direction to extend this sort of life-building message in. You know, I think if we lived in some magical world without guns, this message would still be here. It might say, quit stabbing or stop shouting or whatever applies in the sort of world it's in. Here in ours, where people are shooting each other in this city, this is what it needs to say.
What other work are you doing? Pardeep, I know you've done a lot of work with people who have had really tough lives, who've been in gangs, etc. How do you get people to set a different, to set a set of goals that's away from that, to say no to violence, to... Because it is something that's really destructive to a city. And you hear about these shootings and people caught in the crossfire who are 5 years old or babies. And it's just, it takes your breath away. It is so darn sad. I don't understand how you change a culture of violence that exists, obviously, in some parts, not only of the city, but all over the world. What do you do? How do you do it?
I think what we do, and we do it well, I think what we do is allow, you know, allow people, not just students, but allow them to address that catastrophic train of thought. You know, I think personally growing up, I think I have it more now than before. I was just thinking about this on the way here when I saw, you know, when you see people and I sort of have this vision of, hey, anything can happen at any time. And I guess that's, maybe that's, you know, my trauma, you know, my post-traumatic stress after what happened, right? But I find the beauty in that. I honestly do, and I think it allows me to be able to treasure life, right? And so we allow students to be able to address that, maybe that catastrophic train of thought that I'm having these bad feelings inside, right? I want to hurt somebody. And then we explore, okay, where is that coming from? And what can we do about that? What can we do about that root cause of suffering? So, I mean, for me personally, you know, I was on KK today, and I saw a gentleman, and he was a white gentleman, and he sort of was sitting, you know, with his wife. I'm assuming his wife. He had a bald head, and you know, when he saw me, he kind of looked at me and kind of got up and moved around and did something. And for some reason, and I'm just being quite, I'm just honest, but I said, oh, what is he up to, you know? Like in a suspect, a suspicious type of way. And then, you know, I was like, okay, where did that thought just come from? Why did you have that thought? And it's okay to have that thought. And, you know, I think that's what we try to do is give people the space to be able to have that dialogue with themselves and with other people in the community.
Was there a time after your father was murdered that you felt that the only way to get rid of all the angst and horror that was inside you was to be violent yourself? Did that ever cross your mind, or is that a natural response?
Yeah.
It is.
I think it is. I think it's a natural response. I think I'm still, you know, as much as I would love to say that I'm not a confrontational person, I think I am a confrontational person still. I think, but you know what? I embrace it in a different way, right? I kind of think about it as far as like when you see a matador and the bull is sort of sees that red and starts to charge at it. You can try to stop that bull, sure, but you're probably going to get hurt. But if you can maneuver it into a productive way, I think you'll be better off. And so I feel like conflict is sometimes like that, or you know, violence or anger, any of those emotions are kind of like that. You know, now I'm older. I'm not going to say what, but I'm older, and I think you know, once you do get older, you can channel it into different you know, different ways. And so, you know, but I do understand that some of the kids that are growing up in the city, you know, we're asking them to do things that we didn't have to do because they face consequences that we didn't face. So we let them know that, you know, that's, you know, kind of the expectation is that we expect that you, you know, be able to channel your anger and your frustration in a productive manner when maybe we didn't do that at our age.
Mm-hmm. Robert, you mentioned people you knew who had been affected by violence. What do you do with that internally? And do you take some kind of action yourself to, I mean, for me, I wouldn't know how to begin to lessen that. I would want to totally retreat and withdraw to my house, I think, and wouldn't feel comfortable driving around as Pardeep does and talking to people about stopping the shooting, you know, in the city of Milwaukee. How when you were personally knew people who had been shot, what did you do with that?
Well, these days in my life, I channel it into art, you know, and trying to leverage the reach that the Have Goals message has gotten into our community. You know, it reaches into a place that's hard for other media to reach into. You know, people invite the Have Goals image into their house. Pretty much all of the people who are involved with street art are aware of Have Goals. And so this is a way to get that message to that audience, because I think it's important to actually get down, you know, get your feet out and walk around on the street and meet people instead of, you know, printing up four-color brochures or saying something on the television or whatever and expecting that to have a reach into people. I'm just all about a more direct approach, mm-hmm. you know. And I think one thing I wanted to address was when you set this up, we kind of talked about this being a graffiti tagging message. And for what it's worth, I simply put up a sticker. I don't really like spray paint anything.
Right.
I really avoid, you know, putting this on other people's property. It goes on definitely public structures like a light pole or a left turn, back of a turn sign, you know, a stop sign or something, but that's about it. And there's a very, very small number of people who've helped me with this, and we all kind of stick to the same approach with this. I'm not looking to stick this on someone's house or something. You know, I don't genuinely wish to
maybe
vandalize anything.
Maybe it should be on
anything.
People's houses, Robert.
Maybe it should, you know. Maybe I should just be handing them out.
Absolutely.
Instead of sticking.
Absolutely, why not? There yeah. you go. Maybe
yeah.
you should.
Yeah, yeah. I think it should be everywhere.
Absolutely, along with a stop shooting
yeah.
sign. It should be everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you can't escape it, right?
That's true.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls if you want to join our conversation. What are we talking about this hour? Well, we're talking about a number of issues. We're talking about the Have Goals, Stop Shooting, street art that is omnipresent these days and how people are responding to that. We're talking about the shootings in the city of Milwaukee, and there have been so many of them this year. What's the reason for that? How do you resolve conflict without using violence? I want to talk to Pardeep a little bit more about some of the other areas that he's involved in, and there are many of them. He started Serve to Unite a few years ago, and that organization has been doing all kinds of things. We want to make sure that we talk about his annual Serve to Unite 6K run and walk. There's a civil rights baseball exhibit coming up, and this delegation of Iraqi leadership We'll talk about that as well. What kind of campaign do you think would be effective to stop violence, to inspire Milwaukee residents to engage in goal setting versus gun shooting? Do you think that these should be handed out to everybody or just at certain places in the city? Does it make a difference to see a sticker all the time? Do you stop and pause, have goals? What does that mean? Or stop shooting? Our phone number, if you want to join this conversation, is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and you can also find us on Twitter, and that's at K Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's welcome phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number, and we start our calls with Augustine in Milwaukee. Hi, Augustine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good.
Good.
I just caught you on the air, and I just couldn't help but to call in with the topic of setting goals and really stopping the violence in the city of Milwaukee.
Okay.
I'm sorry to decelebrate, but it's just you never hear that kind of conversation on the radio. I just had to jump into it.
That's fine. What do you have to say about it? What do you think of the campaign?
I think it's in terms of, like, setting goals everywhere and everyone being aware of what setting goals really are in this city, it can make a lot of difference within the community just because we live in such, like, it's a growing city, but it's still such a small city. And the whole stigma of the drug on war thing, the youth in MPS get so caught up with that, and it's so hard to have, you know, people that make you want to set realistic, achievable goals if you're surrounded by so much negativity. I definitely think spreading awareness would help everyone, especially with the Stop Shooting campaign. I don't necessarily believe guns kill people. I think people kill people, but people need to be educated on how to use guns.
Mm-hmm.
Huge stigma. And I think if guns didn't tie so hand in hand with war on drugs, you wouldn't see the type of reckless gun violence we saw today, because it's just two giant misconceptions that are, you know, anyone's going to be ignorant when they don't know what to do in certain situations.
Thanks, Augustine, for the call. Is it a war on drugs thing going on? Is it drug-related? Is it gang-related? Why is there so much violence that's gun-related? And is it important for us to know that, Pardeep?
Yeah, I think, in my opinion, it's got a multi-symptom. It's a multi-symptom problem. I mean, drugs definitely have something to do with it. Poverty, education, joblessness, the availability of guns, public policy around guns, the culture around guns, the media, and the way that violence is perpetuated, and normalized, in a sense. So I think it's a multi-symptom problem. And to address a multi-symptom problem, you need a multi-symptom solution. You need a multi-approach solution. And so we need to understand, I think the best way to understand gun violence or violence in general is to understand it from a public health perspective. And when you understand it from a public health perspective, you sort of understand it sort of like the way we've understood communicable diseases in the past, HIV, polio, Ebola, leprosy. You know, at some point in our history, we have thought of these communicable diseases as a weakness in character. And I think sometimes people think about violence and especially gun violence as a weakness of character sometimes, and we don't think about it as a public health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get a lot farther if we would think about it that way. So I like what the caller was saying as far as the guns guns being the ingredients to help people take other people's lives, right? So all that has to be incorporated in the solution.
What about the idea of taking this whole Have Goals, Stop Shooting campaign into schools in some way so that it's something that young people are aware of as they're studying?
I like how you think, Kathleen. I get reached out to by most of the art teachers in town.
Oh, do you?
So we've handed out a lot of stickers and bracelets and gotten them out there.
Mm-hmm.
I know True School, we got them out to True School already and a few other schools that are really engaged in the art the art component of addressing issues, social issues that we're facing. So I did get it like at the end of the school year, but for sure this will be a campaign that continues on to next school year, and we'll get it into schools. Gun violence and bullying seem to be the two issues that come up at every single school, no matter what demographic you are dealing with in Milwaukee and even outside of Milwaukee. Mm. So, it has to be addressed.
Thank you very much, Augustine, for your call. We go to Andrew in Franklin. Hi, Andrew.
Hello. Thanks. I love the show, and I just wanted to say that I really like what you what the guys there are doing. And the last caller took it right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, I'm not really big into guns, but I just kind of always say I don't like sometimes when the lawmakers think that if they take away guns that this is all going to go away. I think that's just a very dumb idea. I mean, the point is that, even France, you can't have guns, but they still have killings in France, So, to educate people that you just can't solve your problems with shooting somebody is the most important thing. Taking away the guns and everything like that, that's not going to make any bit of a difference. And I really think what they're doing is way more important than, wasting time with trying to figure out how to take away guns and, how to curb gun violence and stuff like that. So thanks a lot, and I appreciate the show.
Thanks, Andrew, very much for your call. Is it hard to get people to learn other ways of dealing with conflict? I mean, do you present a set of skills that people need to learn? Is it hard to change behavior? Is it easier to reach for, your fist or a gun or something than it is to find another way of dealing with pretty intense conflict?
Yeah, I think it's hard to get people to the table when we introduce topics in the way that we introduce them. I think, in my personal opinion, social media is polarizing, as is. And it's further polarizing people right now. So that it's tough to get people to the table that you need at the table, right? And general rule is that you want everybody who's going to be affected at the table. I see the view. I see the world through my kids' eyes, and I know Robert agrees with me on that same. And that's one of the commonalities that we talked about when we initially met. And seeing it through my kids' eyes, I see them sort of adopt that whole, okay, if somebody hurts me, I'm going to hurt them back. And I think it's up to, it's up to a whole, and now it is, it's up to a whole village to raise a child. And we've gotten away from that because, a lot of people that need the help can't get the help that they need to address this before it gets to be problematic.
Mm-hmm. So. What do you hope people will, and what have people told you when they've seen stop shooting, maybe at a bus stop somewhere, when they've seen have goals? I mean, what do you hope will go on in somebody's mind when they've seen that work you've created?
Well, the stop shooting one just started, so we've only been doing this for a couple of weeks. The have goals one, I have hundreds of stories and, emails that people have sent me and social media messages where people just tell me, big and small, how this managed to knock them back on course. Because I think when you're talking about, following the human nature to get angry and retaliate when something happens to you, you really have to look at what your options are. And most of that is about, either reacting out of passion or anger, or it can come from a place where you understand what your life is and what it's about. I agree with the first caller. I forget his name, but he said that it is hard for kids to learn realistic goal setting. It's more than just like, you do good. Hey, you over there, do good. Do good this time. That's not goal setting. Goal setting is sitting down and figuring out, well, what is it that you want? What are the real steps? How can you start doing those steps today? Because 2 weeks from now, you might be on step 5 of 6, and it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. That's what Have Goals is about for me. Mm. It keeps me on course, and people let me know all the time. It helped them find the right relationship or buy a house or, move to the place they wanted to or get that job. I mean, it's all the universal stuff that everyone wants, and I've heard from every demographic of people out there. It's just, it's been a great... cultural experience for me, because it, I think there's a culture out there that is a goals culture, you know, where people and people who are into it recognize each other and drive each other forward with their ideas, you know. And I've done so many collaborations now based off of the Have Goals idea with different artists, so it's just been a powerful and useful idea.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to David in Madison. Hi, David.
Hi. It seems like you've all taken my thunder, because
I'm sorry.
I wanted to talk about education. And education, it, in this case, it just can't apply to people that are in school. We have to rethink everyone. You know, everyone that's out of school needs to be thinking in a different way. As it, you know, take, for example, this 9-year-old girl out west who shoots a machine gun at some target range, bullets and burgers, and kills a man. You know, she's got to carry that with her the rest of her life. You know, we unfortunately are living in a society that has such emphasis on defense, and, you know, 30% of your tax dollars go to defense and building the big war machine. And if we took a fraction of that, everyone could have a free college education. And, you know, the whole message of nonviolence and non-retaliation has to be woven into kindergarten through college and beyond. And I'll say one other quick thing. I was at a concert back in the 70s, and Milwaukee crowds can get pretty rowdy. And some guy a couple down, rows down from me gets hit with a full can of beer that somebody was throwing. People were throwing ice cubes, cans of beer, empties, fulls, whatever. Picks up this can, turns around, and chucks it back up into the audience as if he's going to hit the guy that hit him.
And I looked
at that, and I just thought, man, this is absolute ignorance. It's animalistic.
That's quite an image, isn't it,
of the
senselessness of all of it. Yeah, party?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we say all the time is that hurt people hurt other people. And, you know, that's the beer example kind of exemplifies that well. Yeah, I own two guns myself. I've been a gun owner for a long time. And I can tell you that there's definitely a psychological change when you own a gun. And I'm not talking necessarily, I know the violence that's occurring in Milwaukee is not from people buying guns from Cabela's and, you know, having CCW licenses to be able to carry whenever they can and being trained to be able to do so. A lot of the violence that we're seeing in Milwaukee is very senseless. Sort of like the beer example. And, you know, it is happening with a lot of youth and teenagers who don't know how to properly use guns, and more importantly, don't have the psyche to be able to incorporate forgiveness and compassion at the same time holding a loaded weapon that can take somebody else's life. So, I mean, It's complicated. It's very complicated, and I don't want to get too much into the issue of, you know, Second Amendment and gun legislation and you know, where we are as far as the whole gun ownership debate, and, you know, but I want people to understand that there is definitely a psychological change in somebody that possesses a gun.
Thank you very much for the call. I made mention, and I just want you to know, Pardeep, I think I've told you this before, but that ceremony that you had the year after, the marking the anniversary of the shooting at the Sikh temple, was, I just wish that everybody could have been there. You know, it was this incredibly, incredibly moving night with all these people who had been victims of the, of horrible violence, you know, who were, you were so supportive of each other, and you've stayed in touch with people from Newtown and from, you know, Gabby Gifford's shooting and all these places all over the world, and given each other hope. And it was just, I wish that the spirit of what happened there, I'm sure that's part of all that you do, but it was something that you would, that I wished everybody could have seen or witnessed, because it was an extraordinary night.
Yeah, it was special. I mean, it was you know, and a lot of that credit honestly needs to go back to my brother, and he did, you know, he contacted Gabby Giffords. He's been in contact with people from Columbine, Aurora, and has been a support to them as far as, like, he's reached out. He's working on a documentary called Peacemakers, and a lot of that looks at the after effects of, you know, when the cameras go away of these mass shootings. What happens? What, you know, what purpose do you derive from something bad that happens in your life? And I think that's a, you know, that's a theme that a lot of people can relate to,
mm-hmm.
is that we don't have a choice sometimes of what happens to us, but we do have a choice in the way that we respond to what happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that day was, and it kind of surprised us as far as how many people showed up. We talk about the power of just showing up sometimes, the power of our presence. And, you know, right after the shooting, a year after, to this day, and I mean, this year will mark the 3-year annual anniversary, and hopefully we will have people still showing up. Because, I mean, I think the Have Goals campaign is not about, you know, is not about our kids, but it's about all kids. And I think what happened on August 5th is not about our faith or just our people. It's about all people who come to this country and search for a better life, you know, and you know, what happens? Are you welcomed? Are you not welcomed? You know, how inclusive are we to new immigrants and things like that? So the responsibility of even that day is not, you know, not just for six and, you know, not just for people in Wisconsin, but it's for everybody that's coming in, and you feel that responsibility.
Mm. Nicely said. We're talking about Have Goals, Stop Shooting, Artistic Campaigns, and Beyond this hour of our program. Our guests are Pardeep Kalika and Robert. And our phone number is 800. Oh, we have a lot of calls. We'll be with you in a moment. 800-486-8655 is our number. Email talk@WPR.org, Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls and to Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Hi.
Hi. I was going to say that what I've noticed in my life, and I'm a senior citizen, is that when people, let's say two people are arguing, they can't articulate their feelings or what they're trying to, the message they're trying to get across to the other person, and they become frustrated and demeaned or disrespected, and that's when they resort to violence because they have no other way to communicate. You know, you have to have a vocabulary. In other words, I guess it comes down to, well, for sure, it comes down to education, you know, but I've noticed that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the role of art in being able to express some of that? I know it's a big part of Surf to Unite and arts at large, and I would imagine that it is in your life and in what you're doing, that art, if you have that outlet, it can be good for you and it can appeal to people as well in a different way.
Definitely. It allows you to package up a bunch of feelings and put it into a piece of art, and I think people who follow Have Goals on Instagram have probably seen numerous examples of that from me. So I would agree. That's, you know, art is one outlet. Music is another. For some people, it's exercise or volunteering. You know, there's a lot of ways to handle your feelings without raising up your fist. But,
right.
You know, we're all human beings, and human nature is pretty violent. You know, if you look at
yes,
the whole globe in the big picture, we are just swinging at each other left and right with sticks and rocks and whatever we got. So here in the civilized parts of the world, we're just trying to build each other up and try to focus on the positive objectives and goals in our life.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of Surf to Unite, too, the arts at large. There's a lot of artistic work that goes on in your efforts, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We generally work with, you know, needs-based schools, and a lot of it is, you know, the children do have a difficult time expressing their feelings, and art is a beautiful way to be able to express their feelings. And you know, Arts at Large, Surf to Unite, we've been using that for the last 3 years, and it's been a beautiful relationship. We are starting to get into the realm of trauma-based art therapy, and you know, one of the collaborations what we're hoping to work on is with Mount Mary and working with their art therapy department. Sort of even take a closer look at the psychological component of healing-based art therapy.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you slightly on the side, but not necessarily, because the country has been filled with violence for some time. You're hosting a delegation of Iraqi leadership. What are you doing?
Yeah, but we got a call. And it's kind of weird how it works out, but I'll look at my email inbox and I'll have some kind of email about hosting a delegation from Iraq or obviously Ireland. We've done that a couple
yes.
of times.
Yes.
Pakistan. Places that are riddled with conflict. Arnold had just got back. He was on a month and a half trip out to Europe and
really?
The Middle East.
Oh, my goodness.
Abu Dhabi.
Oh.
It seems that conflict is on the rise everywhere in the world. So we got to, obviously the population is on the rise everywhere in the world too. And when there are resources that are being fought for, conflict will be on the rise different parts of the world. But not to try to get too much into that as far as like when we're hosting the Iraqi delegation is when we host the Iraqi delegation, we are hoping that they can learn from our youth. So to bring it full circle and have the youth be able to teach them how they worked on conflict resolution as far as using, restorative circles or restorative dialogue and just finding common bonds of humanity, and having those be the emphasis over what makes us different, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And you should say who Arno is for people who aren't familiar. It's an extraordinary story.
Yeah, Arnold's my brother. I have a big family now, and Arnold, he was one of the founding members of the white supremacist movement in Milwaukee. He got out of that, got into the rave scene, and then after a while just got into peace work. And a lot of that came about because people that he was downright hostile to were kind to him and showed him that the way you can respond to hostility is compassion and forgiveness. And so we go out and we teach through that message.
Mm-hmm. It's good work.
Yeah, thank you.
Deborah is next. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, Kathy, and thanks for taking my call. And you mentioned war, and I wanted to say I feel as long as there's a war going on, it kind of gives permission to everybody to own a gun and kill somebody. Yeah, I just can't help but think it's incorporated in the big picture. And also, if you put a set of headphones on and listen to the music kids are listening to, television shows, there's no media without violence unless you're watching public TV. But I just wanted to also mention there's the Milwaukee County Public Library used to have a program that I brought my son to every Wednesday. It was called Art Aloud, ALOUD. And it was, I think it lacked funding, and I don't know if it's going on anymore, but it was wonderful. Met a lot of neat people.
And Arts at Large is a program people should know about,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. And, Arts at Large has been around for 13 years. Our next
that
exhibit.
That long now? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, maybe 14 now.
Ooh.
Time goes fast.
Time goes fast.
Next our exhibit is going to be on civil rights and how civil rights and baseball, the influence of baseball and civil rights, especially in Milwaukee, especially in the Negro Leagues and the Women's League. To me personally, baseball is what raised me. So I was more than excited to be a part of this exhibit. It was my outlet. It was my art form when I was young. I remember times when I was frustrated at my father, typically, I would go out and I would take a bat, put a weight on the end of it, and swing it as hard as I could until I was exhausted, and then go back in the house, and for some reason, things would just be clearer afterwards. So it's a great exhibit. It's going to be on July 24th. We're going to be opening up, and just invite the community to come.
Nice. Very nice. Thank you both so much for being with us. If people want to see, is there a space somewhere on the internet that people can see all of the art or did not?
Have Goals definitely on Facebook.
Have Goals
on Instagram.
Okay.
I think I'm on Twitter too, but I'm not sure why yet.
Don't ask me. Thank you both.
I'll see if I can get some stickers for the August 1st race. So if we can get you to register, www.ck. 6K.org.
Wonderful. Pardeep Kalika, we like to check with him. He's always up to interesting things. And we thank Robert as well, who wants to remain anonymous. So, who's founder of Have Goals Milwaukee. Pardeep, Serve to Unite, and many other organizations. And we thank them both for a really good hour. Thank you to KP Whaley for producing the hour and to Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee. We have news coming up, and just a reminder, we'll be with you again tomorrow. We'll talk about fatherhood, the second hour of the show, appropriately enough, with Sunday being Father's Day. And we'll talk about something very compelling the first hour. I can't remember right now, but sure, and tune in because it'll be good. Thanks for listening. News ahead. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.